The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what do you think about this Week 12 action?
A lot of question marks, dog. A lot of question marks.
Yeah, first off, we apologize to all the listeners for the Close Your Eyes special going 0-2 this week.
So what is that now, 8-3 on the year, 8-4?
It's pretty strong. I think it only lost once before that.
Yeah, so I think it's 8-3 now. So that's still well above 2/3. So we're still doing all right.
And speaking of historic trends, Ryan, of course, we talked about it a few times already on the podcast, but betting the Jazz at home when a team is coming off a back to back hit once again. I think that trend is 2-0 so far this year.
Ka-ching.
It was pretty easy money. I mean, they were up by 17 at halftime. I was almost thinking of betting. They played the Rockets a couple nights ago. I was almost thinking of doing it both ways, and I think it would have hit. I didn't check the halftime spread, but Rockets were down 17. Well, I was just thinking they're up 17. It felt like, if anything, Houston would come back and make it a little bit closer. I think the spread was 6.5, 7.5. But
yeah, I'm sure the second half spread was like 6 the other way.
Yeah, could have won both ways there, but can't complain about a strong trend cashing, especially in the NBA. All right, Ryan, let's recap the Week 11 action. Thursday night, of course, kicking off one of the Close Your Eyes specials, the Miami Dolphins. And, well, this was a Close Your Eyes special in the fact that you did not want to watch this game. Not a great game, although Tannehill, honestly, had a chance. And the Dolphins in general, I felt like they had two chances to win this game outright.
Which is pretty sad, considering how poor they played.
They played awful.
More importantly, where was this Bills defense the rest of the season? They looked good up in the front seven. Really strange.
Yeah, Mario Williams got his first sack.
Really strange.
I don't know. It's goddamn the NFL in these Thursday games. They really make it tough. On the outset, it looks pretty easy. Miami traveling to Buffalo for a Thursday night game, but Buffalo did nothing on offense. They returned a kick and then had four field goals. And generally, if you're trading
it's funny because they move the ball, but they have like the worst. I think they have the worst red zone offense in the league, and that really showed.
Generally, if a team is constantly trading field goals for touchdowns, they're not going to win. But Bills pulled off at home. All right, over in Atlanta, another disgraceful performance by Matty Ice, who I have on my fantasy team and has been having a really good year, with the exception of a couple games, surprisingly at home, where he normally does pretty well. Going into this game, I liked Arizona getting all those points. Felt like a pretty similar game to that Oakland game, and that's pretty much how it shook out. I don't know how you throw five picks and still win the game, Ryan. Do you have any insight here?
Yeah, you're playing the Cardinals.
I don't know what. They took out Skelton after seven plays after coming off a bye week. That makes no sense. But Atlanta hanging on there, and 10 points just seemed like too much. But this Atlanta team, you got to be kind of nervous if you're Atlanta moving forward.
They're really shaping up to be the bye team that loses.
Yeah, well, especially with these crappy performances at home. Speaking of crappy performances at home, Ryan, the Dallas Cowboys barely got by the Cleveland Browns in overtime, 23-20. They did not cover the 18 or the 8-point spread. I felt we both felt really good about Cleveland getting 8 here.
Yep.
And we even talked about them potentially winning the game and probably should have won the game.
That was my money line special, and they blew it.
But even as a as an Eagles fan, this is kind of great because it gives Dallas this slight bit of hope, but clearly the team is still pretty crappy. So I think if you're an Eagles fan or a fan of hating the Dallas Cowboys, you couldn't ask for anything better than Cleveland covering, looking good, and Dallas somehow getting a win but not looking great doing it.
Yeah, unfortunately the refs had the Cowboys money line because there were some atrocious – I don't know how that wasn't a fumble there in overtime, but whatever.
A lot of bad calls all around. Oh, man, Ryan. Well, we had Green Bay laying 3.5 or 3, depending on where you got it. They were in Detroit.
What a cover.
They were up 20. A lot of great last-second covers this week. Green Bay was up 21-20. Detroit had the ball on their own side of the field, went for it on fourth down. There was just enough time where Green Bay was forced to kick a field goal, covering the spread and winning the game 24-20. I don't know, Ryan. It could this NFC North could get pretty interesting here. Moving on.
I mean, Detroit's done, but the other three teams are in the mix.
Yes. It seemed like the Bears were running away with it. Now we got all sorts of questions for the Bears. Minnesota still scrappy, still hanging around, and Green Bay kind of getting some second-half momentum, much like New Orleans. Oh, man, Ryan. Well, there was good news and bad news for the Kansas City Chiefs. The good news is they finally had a lead in an NFL game this year. The bad news was it wasn't enough. They lost 28-6 to Cincinnati. Cincinnati covered the 3.5-point spread in Kansas City. This was a easy pick, and I'm just mad at myself for not putting a lot of money on this. This Kansas City team is atrocious.
Yeah, I'm with you. I took some late action on Cincinnati here, and I don't think I watched 2 seconds of the game.
Yeah, you put the bet in, you feel great about it, and
yeah.
Kansas City has some talent, but just atrocious. They're kind of giving the Eagles a run for the worst team in the NFL right now.
The Chip Kelly sweepstakes?
Exactly. Oh, well, I got beef with Chip Kelly. I had the Oregon to win the BCS, and basically all they had to do is get to the BCS. I got them at 3-1, and then I could bet against it. They lose to fucking Stanford in overtime.
That I still don't understand how that was called a catch. Have you seen the replay, Sean?
No, I'm glad I didn't.
So basically the tight end catches it. He's bobbling it all the way down. So neither – like he had 2 feet in but was bobbling it. He then falls down, laying on top of a player, no feet on the ground, no hands on the ground, still bobbling it, rolls. His shoulder hits the ground. It looks like he might have possession, but then when he rolls out of bounds, the ball is clearly still moving. Yet they overturned the call on the field, which was incomplete, and called it a touchdown. It was unbelievable.
I'm really glad I didn't see that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe
I was at a wedding, and I caught the overtime portion.
Oh.
Okay, Kramer, here we go. One of the few picks I was wrong on this week. I went 9-5. Last week I went 10-4, kind of getting some second half heat here. But one pick we were both wrong on here. The New York Jets went into St. Louis, took care of business, 27-13. St. Louis was favored by 3.5 or 3 points at home. And a nice win for the Jets. Breathe a little bit of life into their season, but I don't think they're going anywhere.
I was positive they had quit. I was positive, and they clearly didn't. I don't get it.
It's a weird Jets team. I mean, I can't make sense of this Jets team. All right, Ryan, one of my lead pipe locks, the Washington Redskins, were at home and destroyed my Philadelphia Eagles. Atrocious game, top to bottom, all three phases of the game. Washington won 31-6. RG3 had some nice moves. I think he was like 14-15. But that being said, I could complete passes on this Eagles defense. Shady McCoy gets a concussion on one of the last plays of the game. Not looking good for the Eagles, except a lot of talent in this year's draft. So we're moving forward as Eagles fans.
Makes sense.
What are you gonna do? Who's that great defensive player on Notre Dame?
Mate Teo, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Mate Teo. I think that'd be a sweet pickup for the Eagles. Okay, Ryan. Tampa Bay Bucks went into Carolina. They were 1.5-point favorites. Carolina barking hard as the home dog. But no, Tampa, in a miraculous cover, ties it up, sends it to overtime, and then wins 27-21 in OT. I had Tampa. This felt great, and completely surprised that they pulled out this late cover.
Yeah, I had Carolina, and Carolina's the team this year that I'm just blinded. I have Cam Newton as a fantasy quarterback. I have the win total over, and for some reason, I can't quit on this team, and they keep burning me. So yeah, wow.
Well, they play the Eagles next week. The Eagles are 1-8-1 against the spread this year. So maybe that's a good time to ride your Panthers finally. Wow, a near stunning upset in Houston. Jags gave the Houston Texans everything they had, including Chad Henne, lighting it up on the fantasy board, if anyone was smart enough to start Chad Henne. Wow. Jacksonville lost in overtime, 43-37. It was the first NFL overtime which had more than one score. But the Jags covered with a 15.5-point spread. This looked good all day, Ryan. Not much to say here, except Houston clearly looking ahead to the short week on Thanksgiving, I would imagine. I don't know. Houston has trouble, it seems, covering these big spreads.
Yeah, this was a weird game. Henne played well, man. He was balling. He came out. He made some throws. He really did well. I was kind of impressed. And as someone who started Mercedes Lewis last week in fantasy, I was very thankful to see the quarterback who could at least try to throw the ball. So, I don't know. This Jacksonville team, they're scrappy. But Houston's still the best team in the league, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be interesting, Houston versus New England right now. Okay, Ryan, the other Close Your Eyes special didn't come through. New Orleans went into Oakland 38-17. But I don't know. It felt like Oakland just had a couple chances to stick around and make it a close game, but Carson Palmer throwing it away and, just typical Oakland Raiders problems. And New Orleans defense is making some plays, and their offense has just been consistently good all season.
Yeah, I can't believe that. I just can't. I don't know. I don't remember the last time the Close Your Eyes special went 0-2.
I don't think it ever has, Ryan. It's a weird, wacky week. Speaking of weird, wacky games, Broncos controlled the San Diego Chargers at home for the majority of the game, but the San Diego Superchargers were getting 7.5 points, and their late garbage touchdown was enough for them to cover and win me the pick. They lost 30-23, but covered the 7.5-point spread.
Oh.
San Diego, future destination for Andy Reid. Ryan, I'm calling it right now.
Nice.
He's going to bring back the West Coast offense.
Is he going to bring Nick Foles with him?
I don't know. He already has a house in San Diego. I think he'd be a good matchup with Philip Rivers. They're both really religious guys who have kids.
Does Nick Foles bounce back? That's the better question.
Well, it's a rare down game for Nick Foles. No, I don't know. Honestly, it's not like Nick Foles looked that bad. I mean, I'm really not trying to spin it. He didn't look great, but he really didn't look that bad. That first interception, he hit Celek right in the chest. It bounced off Celek. The defender, it's the first play of the game. The defender for the Redskins runs it down to the 5-yard line, and they get a touchdown to play later. DeSean Jackson, he lofted it up. Yeah, I mean, it was 3rd and 20. He chucked it up. It was downfield. DeSean Jackson just fell down out of nowhere, made no play on the ball. I mean, granted, it was a little overthrown, but other than that, he played the game plan he had, and I don't think he looked that bad, really. He looked average, and he definitely made a few nice throws, though, so there's some hope in Nick Foles.
So you're telling me I should start him on my fantasy team one more week?
I started him in my cousin's fantasy league. I got four points,
yep.
So.
As did I.
Not a great week for the Nick Foles. Okay, Ryan. I thought the Indianapolis Colts would be able to keep it close, but no. The New England Patriots lit up the Indianapolis Colts, Luck made some nice throws, and they kept it close early, but you know, a couple turnovers and just this New England offense, no match for Indy's defense. New England killing it, 59-24. Spread was 9.5, and yeah, just New England seems like they're rolling. Gronkowski broke his forearm, looks like he's out 4 to 6 weeks, but Aaron Hernandez is just getting healthy, so I don't see this being a huge loss for them right now. Are you eating something, Ryan?
No, no.
Oh, okay. I just
drank a little water.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. No, I thought it sounded like something was scratching there. Ryan, what did I tell you last week? The Pittsburgh Steelers were going to cover at home against the Baltimore Ravens, and that's exactly what they did. They got 3.5 points, which was just enough to cover in this ugly, ugly game. Baltimore won 13-10, but Pittsburgh covered the 3.5. Steelers moved to 6-1 against the spread without Roethlisberger, and they looked pretty horrible, and it made sense. I mean, I don't know why they didn't sub out Leftwich. Clearly the guy had an injury. Turns out he did have 2 broken ribs.
Yeah, what a guy weird clearly thing. What a strange set of circumstances.
I mean, he's not a great quarterback to begin with. Obviously, that's why he's the backup for Ben Roethlisberger. But when he was throwing the ball downfield, you could see he clearly couldn't throw the ball. Why? I don't know. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, Monday night action. San Francisco led by Colin Kaepernick. Looks like the new franchise quarterback for the 49ers beat the Bears 32-7. Bears are getting, I don't know, anywhere between 3 and 6, depending on where you got it and where you bet it, depending on who was the starter at the time. Alex Smith not playing, and I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if Alex Smith sees the field again. Jason Campbell not looking good, but more surprisingly, the Bears defense getting beat pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, the most impressive thing was that they just got work. I mean, maybe Kaepernick's pretty good. I mean, it shows how bad Alex Smith is. I think that's what it's more of a indictment of Alex Smith than it is.
Yeah, I mean,
now,
it
that
makes
being
sense
said,
that
the game also went perfectly, and it will be interesting to see what he does on the road in the dome. Granted, not against a great defense, but against a defense that will probably surprise you. I think as crazy as this sounds, and he even commented after the game that, you know, Colin Kaepernick said, hey, the Bears defense did what we saw them do on film. And I think that's kind of what the Bears do. They do the same thing every week, and they're just good at it. And they got beat this past week. Whereas the Saints, even though they're not that great, they're going to do stuff to try to confuse you. So that will be interesting to see him react to a defense.
See if he can pick up the gimmicks of the
Saints.
Yeah,
I think the Bears defense is more of an in-the-box defense. You know what they're going to do. They're going to do it, and they're going to do it well. And they didn't do it well last week. Whereas the Saints are probably going to throw a bunch of A-gap blitzes, and they're going to try to confuse the young quarterback.
Yeah, and especially any sort of road dome game. You know, the Saints are back at .500. It's going to be rocking. It'll be interesting to see if he can make the adjustments, make the audible calls, but still an impressive victory on Monday night against this Bears defense for Kaepernick.
How about the did anyone get a count on how many times Gruden got a verbal boner about the formations they were using?
He was in full lather mode, Ryan. He was lathered up.
It was unbelievable. It was really unbelievable how stoked he was getting over these formations.
And shout out to the podcast listener who I don't know, Andrew. He hit me up. He's a dude who lives in Moscow.
Oh,
he hit me up on Facebook, and he said thanks for the Jazz pick, because he also he sent this before the game. He was like, I'm originally from San Francisco. I'm really high on the 49ers, so I'm gonna parlay them with the Jazz.
Oh, nice.
He felt really good. Yeah, he said he put a lot of money on it, and he had to wake up at 5 a.m. to watch the game. So shout out to Andrew in Russia. Okay, Ryan, let's get to this week's action. You got the spreads in front of you?
Sean, of course I have the spreads in front of me. What kind of silly question is that? All right, Green. So there's a couple games without lines. I found lines for almost all games except for Minnesota-Chicago. We'll start with Thanksgiving in what has turned into an American tradition, watching the Detroit Lions get their ass kicked on Thanksgiving. It's a metaphor for the city. It's great.
Yes.
word on the street is, now this will be the CBS game, but word on the street is that Madden will be making a guest appearance on the night game, on the NBC game, via video. So look out for that. Anyway, Houston travels to Detroit, where Houston is a 3-point favorite. I don't know, Sean. I don't know how you feel about this one. This one, to me, feels like a game that is just Houston's the better team. They've showed that they will play up and down to their competition. They really only played one bad game all year, and that was the game where Green Bay housed them. And I know that the short week is probably going to favor the home team, but I think when you have a veteran team, it doesn't matter. I like situationally, I think Houston, you know, they're coming off a game they probably didn't get up for. I got to imagine they're going to get up for the Thanksgiving Day game, the national televised game. So I'm going to roll with the Texans here. They have the Titans next week on the road, so I don't think they're going to be looking ahead. And the Lions.
Yeah,
I like Houston here in this spot, as long as it's 3 and not 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5, 4 points. I start maybe thinking Detroit can pull something out, but Houston, far superior team. I think they're kind of a, you know, they seem to be like kind of a fast team. I think that plays well for them. I think J.J. Watt's going to really be able to disrupt Matt Stafford.
They're just a solid team.
Yeah, they're just a good team. Ryan, I don't know if you heard the halftime news, but last year the residents of Detroit were very upset because Nickelback was scheduled to play. They tried to petition. They tried to petition to have Nickelback thrown out of the Thanksgiving Day halftime show. They were unsuccessful, but this year they got their wish, and Kid Rock will be rocking the halftime show. That's the only X factor in this game. So I'm kind of worried about Kid Rock motivating the Lions, but other than that, I see it Houston all the way.
There's one thing we have to talk about, and that's I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but we definitely talked about it in real life. Why is ESPN not just bringing in Kid Rock or Toby Keith to sing the Monday Night Football song? And now it appears they brought in the Rolling Stones
to do a Monday night theme song?
It might have only been this week. I want to say it's the last 2 weeks. The Rolling Stones are singing a song, like are basically doing the pregame music. Who the fuck?
Oh, really?
Who thought that would be a good idea?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to hate on the Stones, and at least it's a rock band. But I don't know. I would rather
skinny female looking dudes. I'm not. That's you know, that's at this point being a rock star like they were is kind of gay. Let's call a spade a spade.
But hey, that's kind of it's kind of the world we live in, Ryan. I don't know. I would rather Kid Rock or Toby Keith.
Sean's.
Yeah, I mean,
I got to tell this story because it happened yesterday. Yeah, no. So, of course, Sean, you know I play slow pitch softball.
Yes, and, as the world does.
Last night, unfortunately, last night I had a slow pitch co-ed softball game during the premiere of Blackout, starring Adam Jacobs. But sorry to sidetrack, but Sean, I don't know if you watched Blackout last night.
Oh, I did.
And for all the followers, you should definitely watch this Blackout. The big fat guy in the spandex is a friend of ours, and it was when he was trying to bob into the tank, and his gut was so big he couldn't lean in. He had to jump up, like he basically put his feet up around the tank. Oh, it was priceless. I my head hurt. I was laughing so hard. Anyway, slow pitch softball. We get to the field, and this team, they have this dude playing center field that he literally is as gay as you can act. He's as gay as they come. He's prancing around. He's like, hey, he's singing songs. But then when the ball gets hit to him, boom, he makes a great like sliding catch, pops up, and then fires a frozen rope to – now, of course, that might be a different term in the gay community, but fires a frozen rope right to home plate. And as it turns out, I'm shooting the shit with the first baseman, and this kid just started playing baseball. He never played baseball or softball before a couple years ago. And then on top of that, the dude ended up hitting two home runs. Wow. And then, as it turns out, all the dudes on the team are gay. So, unbelievable. We got our ass kicked. Now, of course,
you got your ass kicked of course, by some softball's gay softball guys.
Softball's a team game, Sean. Oh, okay. I did hit a monstrous home run to deep right center field. I should point that out. So I'm still a man. Anyway, moving on.
Your teammates aren't.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I think we were on the Washington-Dallas game.
Speaking
right?
of people who aren't men, Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys host the Washington Redskins in another American classic. This is at least a relevant – I like when they do the divisional game thing on Thanksgiving. It makes I feel like that if it's not a divisional game, it typically turns out to be a blowout of some sense. So I like that they're doing this. I got to be honest. I grabbed this early in the week. I grabbed Washington with a 3.5. I think it's down to 3, and it's moving in the direction of going potentially to 2.5. I like Washington in this spot. I think Dallas keeps getting by the skin of their teeth, and I think Washington will do enough defensively. And let's be honest, Dallas just isn't scoring a ton of points, and Romo's leaving a lot to be desired.
I agree, Ryan. Little factoid here. Past 3 games have been decided by a combined 8 points. So it's been 3 points, 3 points, 2 points. This feels like another close one. So
yeah, take
3
the points,
points
then, right?
And 3.5 especially. I think Dallas is going to have trouble with RG3. Honestly, I think he might be the best player on the field. We'll see. It should be a good game. I think it's going to be a good close game, and that's why I kind of like getting 3.5.
Yeah, I think right now the consensus line is going to be 3, but I think you still take the points. All right, next up, New England heads to New York, where I haven't really been following, but I'm sure Rex Ryan is running his mouth about how good his team is, even though they suck. New England just dropped 60 on someone. This line opened early at like 5.5. It shot up to 7. I think 7 was the official opener. I think the 5.5 was an artificial online opening. God, I don't know. I feel like the only way I'm taking the Jets is if it's more than a touchdown. It's a touchdown now, so I'm just gonna take. I'll take the chalk here and take the Patriots as a home favorite.
Yeah, Ryan. We're taking all 3 road teams, which, I'm also on board with New England, but it makes sense. The road teams have just been killing it against the spread this year, so I feel like that's a strong trend to run out here. Normally, 6.5-point dog in a divisional game on a short week, I'm all over the Jets, but I don't know, man. This New England defense, or New England offense, is just clicking on, firing on all cylinders.
And
I think they'll have Hernandez back to fill in for Gronk, so I don't think they'll miss too much. And I think New England rolls big here.
This kind of goes against our Washington pick, but Tony Dungy was making some interesting points about how he always felt that on the short weeks, it really just gave an advantage to the more veteran team because they were able to install more in the short week than the less experienced team. And with Houston and New England, that's definitely the case. So interesting to see how that plays out this weekend. All right, next up, the Oakland Raiders, who, God, they looked horrible last week. They head to Cincinnati, where Cincinnati, 2 weeks ago, they were like a 3-5 team, or 4-6, or 4-5, whatever they were. Now they're laying 8 against Oakland. Ah, God, that. I want to say that feels like too much, but Cincinnati's also been playing well, and A.J. Green, I think at this point it's safe to say that A.J. Green is the best receiver in the NFL. I think he's passed Calvin Johnson in my eyes. The guy's a freak. He makes every catch. He made a spinning catch last week that I don't even think it counted because one of his feet was barely out of bounds, but it was unbelievable. He's got 10 touchdowns on the year. I don't know. What's your take on this game, Sean?
Yeah, no, you're saying a lot of the same stuff I was thinking, Kramer. I like the Bengals. They seem like one of these wild card teams that's catching some momentum right now. They're going to be at home. They're going to be fired up. They got a lot to play for. Oakland, once again, season in the tank. I mean, maybe if McFadden plays, they pull out something. But, I think if Oakland couldn't keep it close at home, against New Orleans, they're going to have trouble staying in this game. So, you know, and also, like we say, Oakland going west. I'm pretty sure Cincinnati.
Oakland's going.
Is, what's up?
Oakland's going east.
Yeah, I mean, from west to east, the early 10 a.m. Pacific kickoff, never a good time for Oakland. I just don't, this team just doesn't have it. I'm going to have to ride the Bucks or the Bengals here, sorry. But yeah, I like Cincinnati. I think they're just a better team.
And the concern is, of course, with McFadden. It sounds like he's still out. It's going to be hard to back a team.
Even if he does play, that those high ankle sprains, the first game back, the guy's never quite the same because he can technically play, but he won't have his explosiveness. So, yeah, definitely I like Cincinnati here. One of the few home favorites I like.
Actually, I think they're going to get the car. I don't feel great about taking this much chalk, but I'm gonna roll with Cincinnati in their pass rush. All right, next up.
Oh, Ryan, though, real quick, we kind of ignored the whole revenge factor.
What revenge factor would that be?
Carson Palmer going back into Cincinnati?
I don't know if that counts. It's like 6 years later.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe he gets up for it, but I think that the key for this game will be the pass rush of Cincinnati getting to Carson Palmer. So, and it's also one of those games where maybe Oakland keeps it close, maybe they win the game, but I feel like once Cincy starts going downhill, it could become a two or three touchdown game pretty easily. All right, next up, Pittsburgh travels to Cleveland, where by all accounts, Charlie Batch will be the starter. I don't think that matters at all. I think you're getting a ton of line. I mean, like you said last week, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is not worth 7 points. Ben Roethlisberger is probably not even worth 3 points, to be honest with you. This Pittsburgh team just grinds it out. They're Woodley and Harrison are finally healthy together. And yet Pittsburgh's only a 1 point favorite against a Cleveland team that's been scrappy, but let's be honest, they're not the same class. I don't know. Dare I take chalk again in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh here.
I mean,
like you were saying, Ryan, they're still a really strong team. I think they're getting Mendenhall back. They, I mean, they're just a very well-coached team. This Cleveland team is scrappy, yes, but at the end of the day, if this is just, yeah, if we're talking Cleveland's getting 3.5, 4 points, maybe I consider it, but if it's just who's going to win this game, I like Pittsburgh. They need this win. They're very good in divisional play, and I don't think they blow this.
Yeah, but if Big Ben's playing, this spread's like 6, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, people might be reacting to seeing them play tough in Dallas. I don't know. It's a tough call, but either way, it's going to be, yeah, I think still they're attributing too much to Roethlisberger not being in there. I mean, we saw an injured Byron Leftwich. I think a healthy Charlie Batch is better than the injured Byron Leftwich. So, yeah, I like Pittsburgh here.
All right, Sean. Next up, the Buffalo Bills circle the wagons, head out to Indy, where they face Hall of Famer Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know if you watched the Colts game at all last week, Sean, but there were some great shots of Andrew Luck with his caveman face, not understanding what just happened. Really awesome stuff. I don't know. This one feels like I should take Buffalo in the points, but I'm going to continue to just ride this train that is Andrew Luck. And this would be a close your eyes special if they were not getting or giving points here.
All right, Ryan. Yeah, I like the Indianapolis Colts for a number of reasons, one of which Andrew Luck at home. They are Pagano will probably be in the building. You also got the I think he'll pull a, you know, he'll act like a Native American. He'll use up every part of the Buffalo defense, carve them up. It just feels right that Indy will have a big game here. Also, Ryan, the dude from Russia, Andrew, who hit me up on Facebook, this was one of his picks he really liked this week. So the guy was all over the Monday night pick. I'll ride his pick here and take Indy.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like Indy, much like the Seattle Seahawks, they're just a team. They're just a different animal at home. All right, Sean, next up, your Kansas City Chiefs and Rome.
Oh, wow.
Hoping to sell out and avoid a blackout this week. From what I understand, fans are not buying tickets. They're where the Denver Broncos are laying 10 in Kansas City. Now, I believe I'm getting sucked into betting on Kansas City again.
Wow.
And here's why. Kansas City getting 10 at home against the Broncos team that's basically clinched their division now. I think the Broncos win the game. But, God, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to take the Chiefs plus the 10 points. I mean, double-digit home dogs are rare in the NFL.
Yeah, Ryan, I feel like this is a game where the double-digit favorite's going to cover. I think I really like Peyton Manning here. He is – I don't know if you've noticed it, Ryan, but he is in FU mode to the fullest. They're not afraid to put up points. I don't think Kansas City can score many points. The city, the franchise is in ruins. Also, I don't know if you saw the news story where an 84-year-old man died, and they listed in his obituary, they listed what caused the death, and it was complications from MS and heartbreak from being a lifelong Kansas City Chiefs fan. So when guys are going out of their way to crowbar anti-Chief stuff into their obituary, I'm going to be fading the Chiefs here.
Yeah. I will take the Chiefs, but I will tell you right now, this is a team. I'm putting Denver into a teaser of some sorts.
That feels good.
What's that?
That feels good.
Now, next up, my Tennessee Titans and Chris Johnson head to Jacksonville. They face the seemingly revived Jacksonville Jaguars, where the Tennessee Titans will be laying 3. Ugh. Does it not feel good to lay 3 with the Tennessee Titans against anyone? I don't know. Maybe Locker has. I got to take the home dog here. Both these teams are bad. Jacksonville looked like they might actually do something with Henne at the quarterback against a strong defense. I'm just going to take – this is kind of a little close your eyes, take the 3 points with the home team and see what happens.
Ryan, you know, like I said, I wasn't going to take the Jags unless they're getting like a touchdown or more. I'm going to ride that trend here. The home dogs don't have the same bite that they had in previous seasons. So give me Tennessee minus 3.
You're right. I do not feel good about taking that one. All right, Sean.
I feel like they play worse at home. No one shows up at their games. I mean, they just had this super competitive game against Houston. That was their Super Bowl, and they lost. Now they come home to an empty stadium. I don't think they're going to get up for that game at all.
Third string tight end or third string running back, probably. All right, Sean. Minnesota travels to Chicago, where there is almost no line anywhere. So I grabbed the line from the ESPN Pick'em, where again this would be another close your eyes special, but. Unfortunately, Chicago is going to be laying points here. It looks like ESPN set it at 5.5. I would assume it's going to be closer to 3.5.
Wow.
I mean, if I was making this line, assume it sounds like Cutler is going to play, right?
Usually guys don't miss 2 weeks with a concussion unless they're trying to run him out of town. So, as is the case with Michael Vick. But, yeah, I would say he would play, right? But then also it is Jay Cutler, who's kind of a notorious pussy.
He's been cleared to resume practicing, but still must gain clearance from an independent neurologist. So assuming he plays, I set this line to 3.5 or 4. I really like Chicago in this spot. I think people are going to overthink what happened last week, and I don't like the Ponder going on the road against this defense where they're going to need to run the ball. And even when they got completely lit up last, they still only gave up, 90 yards rushing. So I like Chicago in this spot. I'll take Chicago up to 5.5.
All right, Ryan, if we're going to play that game, I like the Vikings getting anything 3.5 and more. I like the Vikings. Oh, yeah, I don't know. This just – This just feels like a classic collapse from the Bears. Same thing they did last year. They look great. Then Cutler gets banged up. The whole team falls apart.
That's the case. I'm guessing it's going to be 4.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think they'll. I don't know. I just have a. I mean, I see the angle on why you take. Why you take the the home team here. But I don't know. I'm just feel like I'm gonna roll with the dogs, or I mean, roll with the road teams at least. And I kind of like the Vikings here.
All right, Sean. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons, who it seems every week they're squeaking out a victory somehow. They head to Tampa, where they face the Tampa Bay Bucks, who are now 8-2 against the spread. Man, I don't know. Atlanta's laying 1 point here. And I got to be honest with you, I think the move is to take the home team in Tampa, getting that point.
Yeah, I mean, I know I just said how I like the road teams, and this does seem like a place where Atlanta would rebound. But I don't know. This traditionally the Falcons struggle out in Tampa Bay on that slow turf, and Tampa seems red hot. Yeah, they're against the spread record, it's bound to come back to earth. But I think you just ride them one more game.
It's a divisional road game, and Atlanta is not as good as their record, so I think that's the key here. All right, Sean, next up, Seattle as that dreaded road favorite, where Seattle heads to Miami, where they're laying 3. I know Miami,
wow, it's just easy.
I know Miami did not look good, but I'm not taking Seattle laying points on the road, period. Miami +3 is the play here.
Yeah, this is actually – I feel really strong about this play. First off, you can't travel any farther in the NFL with the exception of the England game. You're going from Seattle all the way down to Miami. Miami is a young team, but Philbin seems like a decent coach, and they're coming off a long week of rest versus a Seattle team that's traveling 4,000 miles or something. I mean Seattle, I think Miami rebounds here. I like them.
Seattle also plays the Bears next week, so maybe a slight look ahead factor here.
Yeah, it's just a lot to ask for this team.
All right, Baltimore heads to San Diego, where they are 1 point favorite. Everything about this game makes me want to Baltimore, except for this fact. Baltimore just played Pittsburgh. Baltimore plays Pittsburgh next week. Teams typically don't do well the week after they play Pittsburgh. They're so physical. If Baltimore is going to let down a week because they have not been very good. We've seen, full quarters of no offense out of this team. They can't really stop the run. I would love to take Baltimore here, but I feel like just situationally, San Diego is the play.
Yeah, I don't really like any of these teams right now against the spread, but gun to my head, I'll take San Diego. Basically, for what you said, I think situationally, this is, basically is a game sandwiched in between the two biggest games that they have, both being Pittsburgh. So I think, you're basically in Pittsburgh, then you fly to the West Coast, then you're already thinking about flying back for the Pittsburgh the next week to Baltimore. I think this is where they let down a little bit. And, I like San Diego to win here.
All right, Sean. You brought up the revenge factor earlier. This one's a little more relevant. San Francisco heads to New Orleans, where they will take on a team that they knocked out of the playoffs. Of course, the venue's changed. Man, this is an interesting game. San Francisco looked dominant last week. New Orleans is looking like they're rounding into shape. San Francisco laying 2 in New Orleans. I couldn't think of a worse field for this game to happen for San Francisco. They are not a team that is benefited by the turf versus a team that needs to play on the turf. The noise is going to make it very difficult for that young quarterback. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I really think New Orleans +2 is the play here.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you can get it up to 3, maybe even just by that point. But New Orleans at home, they're riding some decent momentum here, and San Francisco coming off a big win at home on Monday night, short week, traveling. I think you're just setting yourself up for a New Orleans upset.
And the revenge factor. I mean,
And the revenge factor.
And little injury tidbit, Darren Sproles is practicing this week, which means he's going
to... Oh, wow, that'd be huge.
He's an X factor because he's going to cause... he's going to wreak havoc on Coleman and Willis. But by the way, you watch the game, the Bears game? Man, Navarro Bowman's an absolute monster. He had like 10 tackles on defense. And then he plays special teams too, and he chased down Devin Hester. Really impressive.
Crazy.
All right, next up, Sean, St. Louis Rams head to Arizona, where Arizona, I believe, is starting that rookie, Lindley.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I can't wait to start the Rams defense anywhere I can in fantasy. I'm going to take the Rams here. It's either 2.5 or 3, depending on where you're betting it. I will take the Rams at 2.5 or 3.
Sounds like a plan, Ryan. Yeah, this Arizona team has been in a free fall, so I gotta grab St. Louis here.
All right, John. Sunday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers. It seems will be without Clay Matthews, who is doubtful for the game. Head to New York, where the New York Giants are a 3-point favorite. What do you think about this game, Sean?
Give me the Green Bay Packers here. New York is getting a little soft. There's not a lot of urgency for them to win this game. There's just not a lot of urgency in the division. I mean, I guess maybe if Dallas wins, they'll be a little bit urgent. Yeah, Giants are coming off a bye, but Green Bay is just the same year, the same thing when they won the Super Bowl. They just have the hot hand right now, and New York sometimes just doesn't get up for these home games. So give me Green Bay.
Sean, Green Bay did not look great against Detroit last week.
Yeah, they're looking ahead to this Giants game.
Defense without Clay Matthews is not the same without Woodson. The New York media is questioning Coughlin. They're questioning. You know what happens when those questions start swirling, Sean? Their back is getting near the wall as Dallas has made a comeback in the division. I look for my Giants to come out strong in a bit of a shootout. I think this might be a good over game as the total's 50. Giants win 31-27.
All right, I got it going 31-28 Green Bay.
Last up, you're in the third attempt for a Closure Eyes special this week, ruined again by the – well, at least the one line I see. Philly is laying a half point against Carolina on Monday night. If Philly is getting points, this is a Close Your Eyes special. So the line I found is just in an online book, nothing official. If for whatever reason Philly's getting those points, jump all over that Close Your Eyes special. Nick Foles, game two versus Carolina. Now, I am in a fantasy, a big money fantasy league in Vegas. The playoffs are starting. I'm in them. I need Cam Newton to go big. All of that being said, I'm going to take Philly here as – hopefully a small home dog.
Yeah, I'm going to lay Carolina. Philadelphia 1-8-1 against the spread. They're horrible. Everyone's really angry. I think maybe if this was in Carolina, the Eagles would have a chance to squeak out a victory. But I think Carolina being on the road plays a little bit more loose. Cam looking for some time to shine on primetime. Has a big game. And, yeah, I say they win by at least 7. So give me the Panthers.
Yeah, I'm going to switch to the Panthers too. I need Cam to have a game.
Yeah, I think they're going to win big. All right, Ryan, that about does it for the podcast. Thank you, everyone. Oh, wait, sorry. Let's hurry up and do our Lead Pipe Lock Upside Specials 3-team tees.
Who's your lock?
I'll start us off. My Lead Pipe Lock, I like Indianapolis at home. For my Upset Special, give me the Miami Dolphins. And for my 3-team tees, I will go Denver, teasing that down to 4. Tampa up to 7, 7.5, and Tennessee +3 in Jacksonville.
All right, Sean, my lock. I really like this is a nice one. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh,
I think they take care of business down in Cleveland. My money line, dog special. This is another easy one. Give me those Washington Redskins on Thursday against the Cowboys. And for my tease,
this couldn't be any easier. Give me the Pats minus one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Pats.
Minus two. And honestly, I'm going to stay away from this. I know I said I was going to throw it in a teaser, but instead of that, I'm going to take New Orleans plus eight at home.
Nice.
Call it a day.
All right. Sounds good, Ryan. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Hopefully you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You can follow us on Twitter at Gambling Podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher. And, of course, click the Amazon link to support the podcast. I am Sean, Stacking the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
Real quick plug, Sean.
Sure.
Anyone listening, go check out leagueheads.com. We're currently up on Kickstarter trying to raise some money. It's a fantasy gambling site. I'm sure everyone would get into it. So go check it out. And if you're feeling generous, after we win you some money this weekend, feel free to donate some money to the Kickstarter project.
Kramer, let it ride.